Welcome to the pulpit ministry of Christ Community Church, a New Testament-based Great Commission Church, which aims to make, mature, and multiply disciples in community, loving God and loving people, expanding the cause and kingdom of Christ through God's Word. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
The text we're in is Proverbs 24, and Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12 reads, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. You say, 'Behold, we did not know this.' Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" Let us pray. Father, we ask that this message will not only inform us, not only edify us, build us up, but by your giving sovereignly us eyes to see and ears to hear, you would open our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that this nation will turn, that the people in this room who have not been prior, have not been engaged with this issue, literally of life and death in this nation, for far too long, for more than a generation, will be exhorted and will obey the prompting of the Spirit to do what they can prayerfully to stem the tide of abortion, to give voice to those who are the most voiceless in our society, to those to help those who are the most vulnerable, the most innocent, the most victimized in all of this society, the preborn. I pray, Lord, that you will stir hearts today in a special way from today going forward on this Sunday, just days after the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, a Supreme Court decision which legitimized and legalized the murder of unborn children in this nation to the tune of nearly 60 million children. Have mercy on our souls. Have mercy on our nation, Lord. Speak now through our pastor preaching the word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I was so thankful for Frank's BRP this morning as I bring my three loaves and two fish here and place it on the pulpit, trusting that God can do more with what I've brought, and that he can multiply it. Amen? It was a good reminder that we walk by faith, not by sight, and that everything that we do and bring is merely just that, a small amount, but in the hands of God, it can accomplish much. Before I get started with the sermon, I'd just like to say that, just as a preemptive word, that as a church, we have compassion and love for women who find themselves and have found themselves in the situation where they have gone through with an abortion. And we are about loving those ladies, helping them to heal, helping women in the midst of that even to choose life and to come alongside with help, and not with judgment or condemnation. And we believe that there's forgiveness for all. So with that in mind, Abby Johnson was a director of Planned Parenthood in Bryan, Texas. She begins the book that she wrote about leading Planned Parenthood with the day that she, after many years of working at Planned Parenthood, was called by an abortionist doctor to assist her with an ultrasound-guided abortion. You see, she had never been inside and had to work with a doctor doing an ultrasound-guided abortion. And this doctor that had joined their clinic, that's the way he liked to do them, so that he could make sure that everything was removed from the uterus and that there wasn't any perforation to the uterus. And this is how she shares her experience. This is what changed her mind. At first, the babies seem aware of the cannula, which is a straw-shaped instrument attached to a suction tube. It gently probed the baby's side, and for a quick second, I felt relief. Of course, I thought, the fetus doesn't feel pain. I had reassured countless women of this as I had been taught by Planned Parenthood. The fetal tissue feels nothing as it's removed. Get a grip, Abby. This is a simple, quick medical procedure. My head was working hard to control my responses, but I couldn't shake the inner disquiet that was quickly mounting to horror as I watched on the screen. The next movement was the sudden jerk of a tiny foot as the baby started kicking, as if trying to move away from the probing invader. As the cannula pressed in, the baby began struggling to turn and twist away. It seemed clear to me that the fetus could feel the cannula and did not like it. And when the doctor's voice broke through the silence. "Beam me up, Scotty," he said lightheartedly to the nurse. He was telling her to turn on the suction. In an abortion, the suction isn't turned on until the doctor feels he has the cannula in exactly the right place. I had a certain urge to yell, "Stop!" To shake the woman and say, "Look at what is happening to your baby. Wake up. Hurry. Stop them." But even as I thought those words, I looked at my own hands holding the ultrasound probe. I was one of them performing this act. The cannula was already being rotated by the doctor, and now I could see the tiny body violently twisting with it. I'm going to skip the next few lines and just say, and then everything was gone. The uterus was empty, totally empty. There are a few times in the life of our church during every year that we stop and set aside time to preach a sermon that takes us away from our series or from whatever book we might be preaching in. And this is one of those Sundays, and I'm thankful to be in a church that takes one Sunday in the month of January to address the sanctity of life. And just that phrase, sanctity of life, should ring somewhat familiar to you, since in our church we often speak about sanctification, whether before God, in Christ, or our personal sanctification. And so sanctity automatically rings true with that same word, that same root word of sanct, right? Sanctification. Man and woman were singled out from all other created beings in Genesis 1:26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In today's culture, that sounds a bit odd. Aren't we all just animals? Aren't we just like all the other animals that God created? Are we any better? Are we any worse? I say, no, we are not animals. And yes, we are distinct. Though we may have similarities and even much to learn from the animals, even as God says, look to the ants in Proverbs. Our common creator was willed for us and willed for man to be made in his image. The reality of that difference is obvious to anyone who would look at creation and nature, if you want to call it. And the responsibility, I would say, of that same creation and that same sanctification and separate aspect of us being created in his image comes with great responsibility, and one that we should not abuse, and man probably has abused too much. In today's world, we look at this thing called abortion and focus on different aspects of it, but God sees a being that he has created in his image coming forth. And this is the means by which all of mankind, everyone in this room and everyone to come, comes into existence and bears the image of God. No one skips this step. None of us do. We're looking at this same passage, Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, coincidentally was preached 9 years ago as the first Sanctity of Life sermon Pastor Bernie preached was from this same passage. And so I kind of thought it as a very providential moment as we head into our 10th year that we would come back to that same passage. And I would say that our church has faithfully continue to preach on Sanctity of Life Sunday. So let's look at our text, Proverbs 24, 11 through 12. And just kind of amplify this passage a little bit with the words and with the meanings of the words, maybe synonyms in the Greek or in the Hebrew that these words mean. Verse 11, rescue, which means to snatch away, to deliver, to save those who are being taken or fetched or laid hold of or seized away to death. Hold back or to withhold, restrain, to keep in check, refrain those who are stumbling, tottering, shaking, slipping to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Father, I pray now as we begin to go into this sermon, Father, and into your word and to discuss the things here, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would have your way with each heart that's here, Lord. That you would wake up those who are beginning to slumber already. Those who have heard this truth so many times, Lord, that they don't need to hear it again. Or they just want to see what kind of bent George has on it this year. Father God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear today, Lord God, afresh and anew from your word, Lord. And help us, God. Help us, God. And use this feeble man with all his brokenness, Lord. And my brothers and sisters, Lord, may we pray in the Spirit to hear from you today what you need to talk to us about, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this first part of the verse of verse 11, rescue. I got to tell you, the most exciting part of our trip to the March for Life last year in 2018 wasn't the march itself. I have to say I'm thankful for the fact that we went to this March for Life 2 years in a row with Pete and Roy Yoy Reyes because they knew of this vigil that happens in front of Planned Parenthood headquarters in D.C., and the most special time, I would say the most glorious time, was when we were there on that street praying for the people that were going into Planned Parenthood, because that was abortion day. And in every Planned Parenthood clinic, there is abortion day or days. It's not abortion every day. And we happened to be in D.C. the day that they do abortions. And we were gathered there along the street, staying off private property, praying, singing. And the most beautiful part was that in that small period of time, 2.5 hours or three, two babies were saved from death. That was far much greater in the grand scheme of things than us marching down Constitution or marching up to the Supreme Court. To hear that two babies have been saved. And it kind of went like this, and even Abby kind of describes it in her book. On abortion day, there are people wearing vests for Planned Parenthood who are there to usher in the women, and then you have those pro-lifers who are there calling out to them. And there was just like this moment of silence where this woman was just pleading with the mothers to save their babies. And in that period of time, like I said, babies were saved. Babies were rescued. There was a rescue that had occurred that day. It did not come by force. It did not come by tearing down walls or ripping out people physically, but with a presence of prayer, a presence of grace and mercy and truth. This past year, for example, Heartbeat of Miami, whom we come alongside and support, saved 3,500 babies that are not part of the number of the dead. These are the folks who are on the front lines of the rescue. Most of us are not on the front lines of the rescue on a daily basis. We can be. And maybe you will be after today, I pray. Some of us will be. All of us will be. I don't know. But this is a call to rescue, but because it's not just for the people on the front lines. It's not just for the people that we have classified or qualified as the pro-life activists or those folks, over the guys who are doing. This call is to everyone in Proverbs 24. He doesn't say any specific people or group. He says, rescue those who are being taken. He's not talking to just one or two. He's telling all of them, everyone who hears this word, rescue those who are being led away and taken away to death. When you go to the March for Life, like this year we went, and there was like more than the year before, there was like 200,000 people. And you sit there with 200,000 people and you march all, you know, from the mall up the up Capitol Hill to the front of the Supreme Court, and you think 200,000 people is a lot. But I kind of did some calculations. And I reasoned that about that 200,000 people is about 0.08% of all who profess to be Christians in the United States. Not even 1%. Close, but not even 1% of all those who profess to be Christians in the United States show up to the March for Life to say this is wrong and participate in that simple act. I'm going to tell you, it's a simple act of rescuing those who are being led away to death. And oftentimes, you know, I got to tell you, I was reading the news articles the day after the March for Life and I was getting a little bit ticked. From both sides, you know, the left and the right, if you want to call it, or the pro-abortion and the pro-life. The pro-abortion said, Pence speaks to white evangelicals, yada, 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 and the rest of the title, in the headline. And I thought to myself, my dear ones here who are with me, and we are all, I believe, in this room, consider ourselves evangelicals, let me tell you, we are nothing but a dusting of people. The majority of the people that are there are Catholic, 90% or more. We are not really represented there. But to the left, it was advantageous to talk about white evangelicals because those are the evil people that they, you know, always talking bad about. So they automatically pit everyone against that article. Then the right almost like does no better. And again says, evangelical and pro-life activists show up in droves to the March for Life. And I'm thinking, did you go to the March for Life? I was at the March for Life. I didn't see evangelicals. I mostly saw Catholics and then some evangelicals. But that might make the rest of the evangelicals in the nation feel good. We were represented. I'm an evangelical. We made it to the March for Life. We didn't make it, I'm going to tell you, to the March for Life. And God is calling His church, His people, the people of God. He's calling His people to rescue those who are being taken away to death. It's a general call. It's not a specific call. It's when you see an injustice being done, when you see someone being taken to death, if you were on the street and somebody was trying to kill somebody else or kill a child or kill anyone, our job is to rescue those who are being taken away to death. We're supposed to stand up for justice for what is right because it is unjust for the innocent to die. So it's a call for all of us. I think about those who are being taken away to death and that word, that number, 60 million babies in the United States since 1973. And let me tell you, I don't know if the number's higher or lower. It's actually pretty difficult to track abortion numbers. CDC gets their numbers from centers who choose to report, and Guttmacher actually calls all the centers and gets numbers. In some states, they don't give you the numbers. choose not to give you the number. So I don't know what the number is, but this is the number that we have, 60 million. That's of today's world, in today's time, in our time right now, because it was worse, it's about 2,557 a day, 106 an hour. Why do I say those numbers, and why do we have to bring up numbers? Because 60 million is a really hard number to grasp. It's so big that your mind's just going to dismiss it. But in the time that I finished this sermon, in the time that we're here today, 300 and some odd, maybe 400 kids are going to be aborted, are going to die. And that's an alarming, more alarming number. We're a little bit more close that we can grasp. And there would be maybe even for many people that are pro-abortion or for others outside or maybe even in your heart, maybe something there's, maybe George is just giving us a bunch of propaganda. You know that when the Germans were finally surrendered and the people began to go into the concentration camps, Eisenhower went into the concentration camps himself. And he went and he reported. He made an eyewitness report of what he saw. And the reason that he made that report, because he knew that somebody was going to say, this is just a bunch of propaganda. Not that many Jews were killed. Not that many people were slaughtered. Not that it wasn't done. It was all make-believe. Somebody made this up. So he purposely went and saw for himself, had his soldiers go so there would be witnesses so that they would know and see for themselves. Because there's always the lie that comes out. It's just propaganda. Let me tell you, this is not propaganda. These are real numbers that have been going on for a long time now. So, one, there's a call for us to rescue, and specifically today we're talking about rescuing those who are being led away to death in greater numbers than any other number in the U.S. I mean, it's alarming if you just did a little bit of homework. I mean, you just got to Google it. Google is a wonderful thing. Just Google deaths in the United States from cancer. It's going to be about 600,000. Deaths from heart attack, somewhere between 400,000 to 500,000. Abortion beats all of those. Anything that you bring up, anything that you bring up, there's more death by abortion than there is anything else. And the reason I said is because if you type in the leading cause of death in the United States, abortion doesn't come up on the list. It's kind of odd since it's the number one death-causing thing. The second verse or the rest of 11b says, restrain those who are stumbling. And, you know, just the Lord kind of puts things on your mind as you're preparing. And I kind of just saw the different players in abortion and in the industry, in the victims of it, those who are rescuing, those who are stumbling, made me think of the mothers who are kind of stumbling into this thing. They're scared. They're in fear. They don't know where the money's going to come from. The guy's pressuring them to have an abortion. They're feeling alone. They're feeling trapped. They don't know what to do. I'm too young for this. I can't be a mother. Who's going to help me? Where's the money going to come from? And they're kind of stumbling, tottering, slipping into this thing. And God says, hold them back. Restrain them. Restrain them from stumbling. And that reminds me of those women there on the front line that morning who were there to restrain. And I want to tell you guys something. One of the most powerful witnesses, I believe, sometimes I don't even think you have to say much. I'm kind of convinced if we were to go and begin to try to do sidewalk counseling at the closest Planned Parenthood, which we were looking at to do, we can't get on the sidewalk. It's on private property. But I just believe that just the witness of someone praying and just having a sign, I'm praying for you to keep your baby. Just that is enough to restrain some women who are stumbling. We might not get to put a piece of paper in their hand. We might not be able to make a contact. We might not be able to send them somewhere. We could put a help number on the thing too, but just that time of prayer. just praying in front of the Planned Parenthood, praying for the workers inside the Planned Parenthood who are watching us from the windows. They're looking at the freaks, the pro-lifers across the street. But we're praying for them that God will call them out of that darkness. So these ladies, and you hear the testimonies, even when you go to a Heartbeat of Miami banquet, you hear the women when they come to share. A woman who had triplets who came to share. She already had 3 or 4 kids, and now she has triplets. And she's thinking, I have to, I can't, there's no way. And so you find these women who are in this difficult time. It's called crisis pregnancy for a reason. Or unplanned, if you want to call it. Not by God, because by God it's planned. In your mind, it's a crisis, but in God's mind, it's His creation doing what He set it forth to do. There's a life coming that He has created. But nonetheless, these are these women who are stumbling, slipping, and our job is to refrain, to hold them back. Maybe volunteer. Maybe that's a first step. Maybe a first step for you is to go to the March for Life. Maybe that's the first step. Maybe to go and demonstrate. Maybe when they have the 40 days of prayer for, 40 days of prayer and 40 nights of prayer for the pro-life movement, maybe just joining that, but becoming a participant in some way in refraining. Only 0.08% of Christians are showing up, people. It's great. You know, here we are. We're preaching the Sanctity of Life sermon again this Sunday. Fantastic. Are we holding back? Are we rescuing? Are we participating in this process? You know those escorts that they send out to walk with the women as they're coming up to the, they're stumbling into the Planned Parenthood clinic. They send out escorts with a little vest. I'm your escort. And they go to the lady while the pro-lifers are saying, hey, you know, think about your baby. You know, the pro-lifers are saying things, and the escorts will come out and they'll meet the girl. Hi, how are you doing? And then they begin talking in their ear and whispering them and talking to them the entire way, all the way up to the door so that they cannot hear what the pro-lifers are saying. And I get it. In their business, I get it. I mean, we're going against we're trying to knock down their clients. Right? We're trying to restrain their clients. But that is what they're doing. And somebody's got to be there to say something. Somebody's got to be there to refrain. Somebody's got to be there to hold them back or to rescue even. If not, it's just an easy walk right into the clinic. I recommend that you would read that book by Abby Johnson, Unplanned. Fantastic. They're making it into a movie, actually. It will be coming out this year, I think in March or April, and I highly recommend that you see it. It's a powerful story. She's a powerful witness for the movement now, and her rescuing is rescuing the women that are in there just like her, and so there's none working inside Planned Parenthood. So that's the situation. We have children who are being led to death in droves and millions of hundreds of thousands every year. And mothers who are being taken advantage of, lied to, just like Abby Johnson. Abby Johnson's a director of a Planned Parenthood, and she doesn't know what the abortion actually looks like after years of being the director. She sees it for the first time, and when she sees it, she says, I'm out of here. Because she saw it. She had spit the same lies she had been taught as a college-age girl going to work for Planned Parenthood and being indoctrinated by them. By the way, she had 2 abortions herself. And she's just spewing the lines that they're telling this, that the fetus doesn't feel any pain. And it's not until she sees the baby disappear, crumpled up and gone, and an empty uterus, knowing that a second ago there was a being there, and that being looked just like my daughter Grace, she says. Looks like the ultrasound of my baby. And now she's gone. And here's where we got to kind of talk to one another in this sermon. In verse 12a says, if you say, behold, we did not know this, does he who weighs the heart perceive it? Are we going to rescue? Are we going to excuse? This is the most common excuse or lie we tell others and ourselves. Really about anything. It's kind of just rolls off our lips. Oh, I didn't know. And inside, you know, like, I really did know, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that rolls off your tongue when you're kind of, hey, why didn't you help out with this? Or why didn't you do that? Oh, I didn't know. Or you bust your kid doing something wrong. What are they doing? I didn't know. I didn't know that was wrong. You mean the first time I told you or the second or the third time I told you? It's just kind of one of those natural, I didn't know kind of comments that comes out. This whole thing reminds me of the Germans. We kind of sit here in America. How did those Germans not know that those people were being murdered by the millions? Well, the truth is they did know, didn't they? History shows that they had to know. Those concentration camps weren't just all in the country. Some of them were close to cities, and they knew. They saw smoke, and where there's smoke, there's
fire.
Yeah, what's burning? Hey, there's these trains of people being bussed in every single day, and there's fire. And guess what I learned in this process? The German citizens, just like the American citizens, they had to do rubber drives, metal drives. They had to get into the work of the army. They had to support from home. Do you know who they worked alongside? Prisoners of war. They worked alongside the concentration camp people. They knew. Americans knew slavery was wrong. Americans knew segregation was wrong. Americans knew that lynchings were wrong. We knew. We can't say we didn't know. Every time that man oppresses another human being and kills them and goes through this process, somebody knows. In fact, you could say we all know. We all know, even those who are on the other side, we all know abortion is murder. I'm sorry. They're not even denying it anymore. Ignorance is bliss. This is where most abortion clinics want to keep women in the dark. I kind of posted this week, isn't it interesting that a woman cannot get an ultrasound at Planned Parenthood? If they show the mother the baby, guess what? Mama's going to keep the baby. 80% to 89% of women who see an ultrasound of their child keep the child. It's no longer a blob of tissue. The lie has been revealed. The truth is out. But they purposely try to keep women in the dark. Just like Abby Johnson, the director. Duh, there's a baby in there. Duh, the baby feels pain. Right? But she didn't want to know because she had some pain she was covering up herself. Sometimes the sinful things that are committed by others shines a light on our sinful apathy and sinful cowardice. Sometimes the sinful things that are committed by others shines a light on our sinful apathy and sinful cowardice. It's easy to say to one another, I don't know, but this passage is saying, you can't lie to God. It says, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? We can lie to one another. We didn't know. But the jig is up. Because God knows. And look at I'm just going to go to verse 10 for 1 second. It just kind of plays into this. There's a call to courage. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. He's not really just calling them out for being cowards. He's like, don't be cowards. Gather up strength. Rescue those who are being taken away to death and hold back those who are stumbling to slaughter. And here's the scary part. This is where the verse begins to get on the scary side. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Will he not repay man according to his work? You know, the people of Israel, when they came into Canaan, they encountered a people that would sacrifice their children to the god Molech. And this was a statue with metal hands that they would heat up till they were red hot. And the sacrifice was that. I won't go any further. The sacrifice was that. That's where the babies were placed. And in that culture, in that time, God said, if any one of you sacrifice your child to Molech, he'll be stoned. He will be cut off. But it didn't stop there. God said, and for those of you who saw and did not take care of it, I will cut you off. Because if we're all living together, y'all, day by day, and Jalen doesn't show up to church like for 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, she ain't going to shepherd group, she ain't coming to church to worship, aren't y'all going to say, hey, where's Jalen at? If we did something rotten, you're going to find out. You should know, right? And God was telling them, the clan shall be cut off. Not just that guy's going to get stoned. All y'all are going down. We can't continue to say, we didn't know this. We all know it. And really, that's where my heart has been since I got back from the March for Life. And even in preparing for this, is that what are we doing besides complaining? What are we doing to make a difference? Yeah. What are we doing to rescue? What are we doing to restrain? And my heart in my prayer is that God will speak to each one of you in this room and myself. Trust me, I've been like, what are you doing, George? Okay, what did you do? You went to the March for Life. Hold your sign up. I really came back just kind of convicted. We have to begin the sidewalk counseling that we set out to begin. This morning as I was preparing, this is the final thought that I had before I left the house. Meditating on this. You know that thing we went through in July? Do you know the thing that we went through in July? We had decided, we had made a decision that we were going to stand on the front line, that we were going to do sidewalk counseling, that we were going to come alongside this ministry and help them on the front lines. And I was thinking to myself, one, we were a bit cocky. I think we were a bit arrogant. And we didn't enter into that time with prayer. And with clear sight, we are entering the battlefield where children are being murdered. The height of evil. Can you think of anything more evil to do in this world? And we're going to walk up to the front line, not having been on our knees and broken. Oh, God, we cannot do this. Only you can do it. Oh, no, we can do this. We can plan that. We can put it all together. Man, I feel like we were like, the devil's like, pew, 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 knocking us down. Getting in here and working his little division. Making petty things, humongous mountains out of molehills. That's not the work of the Spirit of God. We fell. We were not watchful. We were not on the wall standing, watching. We just walked into a good thing, right? God's opening doors. Praise God, he's opening doors. Yeah, well, did we pray enough as we were heading to that door? No, these are just my thoughts, God. I'm just kind of pouring them out to you. These are the thoughts that were happening to me this morning as I just try to look back with spiritual eyes, because we wanted to be in this. We wanted to do this. And then we got punched. we got knocked down and we kind of been a little bit shy on this. You know, like, now what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How are we going to help? How are we going to get involved? How are we going to continue to rescue and restrain? Because we kind of had all of our eggs in one basket and the basket got smashed to death. But that doesn't mean that we stop. We have to start again. And we have to start knowing with wisdom, with our eyes wide open, we are heading into the battlefield. And I'm not putting it all on us. I'm just saying this is the way that I see it. I'm saying my brothers and sisters got attacked. They had grudges. They didn't deal with them. The devil was like, oh, now is when I'm going to bring that thing up. I'm going to turn up the fire on that thing for you. And that's good. That thing's going to become an inferno. We have to continue. New York this week, as the message is being prepared, as we're coming back from the March for Life, New York announces, basically, you can have an abortion whenever you want. I mean, I'm having a battle on the line on a Facebook friend of mine who always has to, you know, if I put something up about pro-life, that's it, she's got to say something. And we're having a discussion. Well, the law actually says that, you know, here it is, so you can read it and you can get informed because you don't have it right. I'm like, well, guess what? It doesn't say, it doesn't have any restrictions. It just says, if the doctor says or the medical person says, we can have it, we can have it. You know how many abortions are done on just that every day? And now it's like, whenever, the day before, just like somebody promised that they would do. I'm telling you, we're headed into a big time battle. And I've been refreshed by the fact that maybe some of my not so pro-life brothers and sisters in Christ have seen what's happening in New York and like, whoa, too far. You've gone too far. And typically these cities began to lead the way in our nation. These kinds of things always happen in those bastions of liberal thinking who are progressive. I have no idea how abortion is progressive, but somehow in people's minds it is. I understand they don't see it the same way. They're probably lost. It's not easy to make excuses with God, guys. The Lord says in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his deeds. Sometimes I wonder if, you know, just because of what we know of God's grace and mercy, we abuse that grace and mercy. I'm really calling on each one of you that are here, each one of you, my brothers and sisters, myself, to contemplate this thing. To contemplate what's happening and to make a decision to do something to help. Maybe to do more to help. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Father, to be like you, God, to rescue those who are being taken away to death, to pour out grace and mercy to those who have made a wrong choice, who have sinned, God, just like we have, to be your hands of forgiveness and compassion. Lord, I pray for our church, God. I pray that we would have eyes that are open, that you would keep us from falling asleep, God, and being lulled to sleep by this world, its entertainment, its pleasures, its foolishness, while all the while babies are being murdered. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ at CCC, Lord, and this is something that we actually are passionate about and love. And I pray that you give us more courage, God. Give us eyes to see the dangers, to prepare, Lord, to not be prideful, but to keep our eyes on you and say, the battle is yours, God. The battle is the Lord's. Help us, Lord, to bring our little loaves and our fish and have you multiply it, Father. Give us faith to believe. Give us courage to act. But let us act. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-saturated body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on our ministry, go to our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's christcomchurch.org.